Today the word comes from Hebrews 4:11-13. I'll go ahead and read it for us. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Not everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
All right, good to be here. Actually, can we make some noise for the Lord? He is just so good in our lives. Go on, hey, let's do it. Let's do it. And thank you for inviting me. This is, I think, how many times have I come here, Eliza? A lot of times. So good to be fellowshipping with you and whatnot. Yeah, that was actually a very thick passage. Very, very thick. There's a lot there. So that was a great reading, Eliza. But you know, as I was reading, I think I want to kind of go through it one more time, okay? And today, I just want you guys to know, this is going to be a little heavy. There's going to be a lot of teaching. There's going to be context in which why the author of Hebrew spoke these words. I think it's really important for us to know the context, okay? So let's read this one more time. Let us therefore, and he's talking to the community there, the audience, right? Make every effort to enter that rest. Anybody need rest this morning or this afternoon? Come on, make some noise. Anybody need any rest? Come on. It's already crazy right now. 2024 is getting crazy. All right? So that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. So there's something about sin that's going on over here. All right? There's a disobedience that's going on. For the word of God is alive and active. Now, all of a sudden, this author is putting forth the word of God into this mix. Can I hear an amen, right? Okay, I want you guys to see this. It's really, really important, okay? Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Word of God is that powerful, and it won't let you go. I mean, it just gets into your conscience. It just gets into your spirit. This is how important it is that you guys get into the Sanggyeong, the Bible. For some of you guys, want to learn some Korean? Sanggyeong, all right? I know, my Korean is so bad, right? Let's continue on, right? Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered. Ooh, dude, you're just naked. In front of God's word, you're just naked. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him whom we must give an account. Can I hear an amen? Okay, before I go into the introduction and all of this, I just want to let you guys know straight up, okay? I see a lot of Christianity right now. It's all about emotion. Loving God, emotion. Jesus, thank you so much for dying on the cross for me. But really, they don't really know the depth of what that means. They don't really know Jesus. They kind of know. They know the simple gospel. Is that enough for us to go to heaven? Yes. However, in their spirituality, there's no depth. There's no depth. Because you don't really know this being called Jesus, or really know who the Father or the Holy Spirit is. Just for every couple that is here, I can say, the more you know your spouse, the more you will be irritated by them. But also, the more really you will love them. I'm just joking, right? Of course we'll be irritated, but because we know them. But we will love them even more. This is where I fought my mom like tooth and nail because I was like one of those kind of kids, right? That's just always like, I'm just a bad kid, rebellious or whatnot. But and we had a lot of scruffles and spats back in the day. But when my mom passed away about 5-6 years ago, that was the most devastating thing in my life. I've never felt love that hurt that much. Why? Because I know her. And there's no way you can know God. There is no way that you're going to ever go deep with God. There is no way you're going to ever know the Holy Spirit. There's no way you're going to know Christianity if you do not bury your nose in God's word. Period. So a Bible-less Christianity, if you want to go for that, you're going to go into a lot of emotions. You're going to go into a lot of singing that doesn't even really make sense, or you know what you're singing. And that vain emotion is just going to fade away. But when you really know God, those emotions are going to be so true. Can I hear an amen? It's like when you really know that person, the things that you are saying or singing, it makes sense. There's power to it. So, it's crazy, right? Who's up to the challenge? Make some noise. Come on. Just even initially. I know, initially, right? I know it's very, let's go. Let's go. Let's do it. Like, let's just really bear and see what happens. It's like an experiment, right? Gotta see, like, you know, everybody tells you read the word and your lives will change. Let's see. You know, you can't do it unless you see. So, with that, I'm gonna go into my introduction then. We'll get fun. All right, now. How many of you guys set some really high goals for this year? No? It's probably because we know it's very difficult to accomplish them, right? Any New Year's resolution? Come on, I want to know a little bit about you. Pastor Tim, what's your New Year's resolution? Exercise. Anybody say that? Exercise? That's one of mine. That's one. Anyone else? A New Year's resolution? Anyone? Come on, let me get to know you a little bit, congregation. Come on. It's okay. Don't be shy. Yes. Learn how to use a planner. That's actually pretty awesome, man. Like, I bet you, you'll be a very productive person after you learn how to use that. Anyone else? Any other resolutions? Any other resolutions? Anybody gonna climb Mount Everest? Yes. Wake up earlier, right? Wake up earlier. How many of you guys who is also committed to what I'm doing, which is lose weight? Anyone? Anyone? So I just went to the doctors. They told me I have high blood pressure for the very first time. And the doctor said, you know, there's a few things that you can do, and one of the things that you can do is lose weight. I'm like, lose weight? How's that have to do with blood pressure? I don't get it, right? But they're like, yeah, you have to lose weight. And then she's like, I'll be so proud of you, Pastor Sam, if you just lost 5 pounds. And I'm like, 5 pounds, I could do it. Yesterday, we had a, yesterday, we had a all-church volunteers appreciation dinner, and guess where we went? We went to the Dragon. You know the Dragon China? Dude, you know, how many of you have been to the Dragon before? Dude, you know that this restaurant is going to be closing. Do you know how many birthdays and weddings and celebrations I did over there, right? It's going to be closing, and so they just brought all the food out. Anybody like comida china, Chinese food? Anyone? No? You guys don't like it? I love that place, right? So I was just eating, and I was like, I gotta stop. I couldn't stop. You know, after they give all the Chinese dishes, kampong seo, which is the fried shrimp. Anybody into that, right? You guys into the sweet and sour pork? You guys into that? The Mongolian beef? No, some of you guys are not into that, right? We had crab. I mean, everything came out. It was so much food. Like, there's food mounds just left over. I'm just like, what's going on? And on top of that, they're like, Pastor, you got to eat some jajangmyeon, right? The black bean. I was only going to eat half a bit. I ate the whole thing, and my face was so puffy this morning. It was ridiculous, right? I failed. Some of you guys might feel like, man, already this world, this 2024 is going so fast. It's so overwhelming. I feel like I'm failing in some of these areas that I want to accomplish. Anybody? You know, there's actually a group that was failing also in their Christianity. And it was actually this community that the author of Hebrews was writing to. They were failing in their Christianity, because they were overwhelmed by certain pressures of society, and it was primarily due to a lack of devotion to actually God's word. That's why they were failing. I'm going to break this down to you. Anybody excited to hear about this? Okay. So this new Jewish community, right? This new Jewish convert. You guys remember, these guys are steeped in Jewish tradition for thousands of years, right? Now they have heard about Messiah, and some of them decide this is the Messiah. By the way, if you go to Israel right now, there's so many that says, no, Jesus is not the Messiah. Are you guys with me, right? There's a lot of people that still do not believe that Jesus is Christ. They're still looking for the Messiah right now. They are still bound by so much of the Jewish rules and regulations that come from the Old Testament. They're still bound by it. The Sabbath rules and all that. They're not looking at Christ. Right? These Jewish converts who came from Judaism in Christianity, you know, one of the things that were happening to them? It was just like when a Muslim, do you guys know any Muslim who crossed over, who crossed from a Muslim religion to Christianity? Anybody know anybody that came from Muslim religion to Christianity? Do you know what happens? They're absolutely outcasted. The parents don't even talk to them anymore. They're just really distanced by their people. I'm going to tell you another thing, okay? Just recently, we had a visitor that came into Hillside. This dude decided to follow Christ. And this dude decided, I am going to overcome the sexual sin of my homosexuality. And he actually said that I want to renounce. When you're outcasted from the community, what happens there? Then various things start happening. Loneliness, depression, loss of jobs. Do you know that most of us, our jobs are through connections? But when you are disconnected, loss of jobs, now they're just getting more and more and more depressed. Persecution's happening. Jobs are not happening. Now extreme poverty's happening. Loneliness is happening. Is starting to set in, and now this is what's happening, okay? Now they're crying out to God. God, why am I going through all of this? How come nothing in my life seems to go anywhere good? Anybody ask that question to God, right? Anyone? How come things are just like so jacked up right now in my life? You know, I really want to kind of have you guys think a little bit. There are times in our lives when we're in that like solemn moment where we think like, man, is Christianity worth it? Is following Jesus worth it? Is going to church worth it? Is my time here worth it? Is reading the Bible worth it? Is praying worth it? For these folks, because their lives were not changing, especially their worldly good life is not happening. Are you guys with me? Right? They were starting to question their Christian faith. They were starting to question Jesus. What they understood as the good life was not being granted by their new faith in Christ. You know, I know a lot of Christians like that. When they're going through poverty or challenges, oh, God must be cursing me. Oh, I don't know if God loves me. There's a lot of questions that happen like this in human beings when things go wrong. And some people even ridicule Job's friends or others. Hey, do you really think that God is there? Right? Have you been in those kinds of scenarios? I know a lot of people in this world go through it, and this is when the devil comes at his best, is when you're going through stuff, your secular friends come on over to you and say, hey, this Jesus that you believe in, is he really there? Because our point of view is that if we believe in God, that we're going to have a quote-unquote blessed life of the world. But let me tell you something, guys. God never promised that. Boom. This is the difference between prosperity gospel and the real gospel. I'm going to tell you what God promises. Anyone ready for that? Make some noise if you're ready for that. I'm going to give you what God promises. The only thing, listen up, this is very important. The only thing God promises the believer in Jesus Christ is this salvation. Come on, make some noise for that. Salvation. This is the thing that is better than gold or anything else. Salvation. The promise of the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. When you are thankful and you're worshiping Jesus, don't be thankful for the Cadillac or the Mercedes or whatever that he gave you. Although those are thankful things, but at the end of the day, what you should be exalting Christ is for your salvation. Are you guys with me? Like, there's so many Christians that we're just worshiping God. Thank you for giving me this. And let me tell you this, okay? That God does bless us. Okay? I'm not saying that he doesn't. Many of you guys, I'm looking at you. Y'all are blessed. Y'all making money. You have stuff. But that's not the most important thing. And that is not where we are hindered by. What is the most important thing is the fact that we have eternal life in Christ, and that now we have an eternal purpose, now we have an eternal Father, now we have an eternal relationship, and now God is revealing his will over your confused life. Come on. Okay, when I see some people in real, real trouble, Christians, I see them go to seek psychotherapists before they seek the word. Now, once again, I'm not saying that don't go to psychotherapy. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about choices here. I'm talking about where you put your worth here. Can I hear an amen? Come on, that's some real truth. That's some real truth. Is God's word really sufficient or not? I don't think most people believe that. You know why most people don't believe it? Because they're not in it. They haven't experienced it. This community of believers were feeling restless, and in the midst of their despair, the author of Hebrews promises one thing. If you are a true believer in Christ, and you have salvation in Christ alone, no matter what you may be facing or experiencing in life, you are promised what? Real rest. That comes from the Word of God. That comes from the Word of God. This word rest, Shabbat, is often used in conjunction to shalom, this peace, or this deep peace that you can only have when you are in a communicative relationship with God. Are you guys with me? Once again, catch that. Not only just this touchy-feely, like, oh, God is with me, I can sense his presence. That's important too, but what's even more important is a communicative relationship. There is power in communication because you get to know that person. Can I hear an amen, right? This is the factor that I feel like is really missing in the church today, is we sometimes, people even feel like, oh, I think God is telling me this. I think God is telling me that. I'm like, how do you know? And they're like, because that's what I feel. Well, guess what? There's no way you're going to able to really discern if God is really telling you that if you haven't read the Bible. The Bible, the Lord has spoken already. I'm going to give you some illustrations later on down the line how God speaks to us. But this is very interesting, right? There's so many like different areas of Christianity where people are, God is telling me this, to do that. All good, but at the end of the day, I'm like, hey, how much are you in the Word? And they're not. And what's interesting here is, if you read our passage today, after mentioning entering this rest, right? Really receiving this rest as you are in this communicative relationship. Really entering that rest where you feel that you know God. Where you feel that you know God. You don't have a question or a wonder. Are you guys with me, right? And you guys are in a real relationship, a real communicative relationship. After mentioning entering Sabbath rest, the author of Hebrews almost abruptly goes into the Word of God. He says, that's how you do it. You get that rest if you enter into God's Word. This is so amazing. This is so amazing. How many of you guys have ever experienced this? There's a time when you're really not reading the Bible. And you know what? Once again, like, let me just bring it down to like the floor here. If you're not reading the Lord's Word right now, I don't want to condemn you. Okay? That's not what I'm here to do. I know I'm preaching passionately. I'm sweating all that. You're thinking, oh, this guy's angry. No, I'm not angry. I'm not. I'm here. I'm passionate because I know the truth of what I'm preaching. I want you guys to all experience it. That's why I am doing what I'm doing, right? He goes right into the Word of God. That's what's going to bring you peace. How many of you guys have just been reading the text in one time? You guys are doing a quiet time, and there's like you're reading, and you don't understand what the writer is saying. You're like, oh, man, this is all crazy, man. But you like keep pushing on to read. And all of a sudden, the Lord gives you a bow, a nugget. And you're like, that's what I needed to hear today. Anyone? Anyone experienced that before? And it's freaking resonating, man. Brr, it's just taking over. It's just taking over. And all you can hear the rest of the day is that reverberating, powerful Word of God that you just engaged with. Try to understand. Pray for her. The Word of God starts rising up versus what you want to do. Why? Because you're in the Word. You're not in the world. You're not in the ways of the world. You are in God's Word, in His holy Word, in His perfect Word, in His sanctifying Word. That's where you're at. But if you're not, the world will gobble you up. Bottom line is this. You've got to believe. You've got to believe that the Word of God that has been given to you is the very voice of God that can lead you, guide you, and instruct you all of the days, every circumstance, every situation, that the voice of the Lord is waiting to speak to you. You got to believe it. If you don't believe it, you're not going to read the Bible. That's the litmus test. Are you with me? Right? That's pretty cool, right? I'm dropping some stuff on you guys. Boom. I'm just dropping some truth. That's a litmus test, isn't it? If we're not reading, that means we don't really believe it. Because if we really believe it, then we will read it. Like, it's our lifeline. If it's truly God speaking to us that knows everything, He created everything. He knows everything about us. He knows everything about what we're going to face. He knows everything about what we need. He knows everything. And He is sufficient for all things. And His Word is sufficient. If we truly believe that, why wouldn't we read it? That's where it begins. That's what was happening with this community here. They're hearing the word of the voice of the Lord, and they're hearing God's Word, and they are rejecting it. If you could go to John Piper's quote. Do you guys see John Piper's quote there? Okay, check this out, okay? John Piper. How many of you guys like John Piper? You guys read John Piper? John Piper's pretty good, man. I encourage you guys, you know, read him once in a while. And he's an old Harabaji, you know, he's grandpa, you know, but he's got some nuggets of information. He says this in Hebrews chapter 4. Failure to trust what? We saw the answer in Hebrews 4:2. We have had good news preached to us, just as they also had good news preached to them. But the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by what? Faith in those who heard. John Piper writes in commenting on Hebrews 4, what they failed to trust was the good news, the word of God that was preached to them in the wilderness, the promises of God that He would care for them and give them victory and forgive them and be merciful to them. They didn't believe God. They murmured in their troubles and wanted to turn back to Egypt rather than follow God. This is their unbelief in their disobedience. Same thing that was happening to the community the new Jewish community in the book of Hebrews. Are you guys with me? Right? Pretty interesting. So I'm going to give you a little story, and I'm going to give you point number one. So do you guys know how I became the pastor of Hillside LA? You guys want to know? I'm just dropping some history here. So this was during, you guys remember the financial crisis? We're in a kind of like a financial crisis here, but I think it was 97, 98, anybody? Like parents got affected by the financial crisis, 97, 98, the real estate and the earthquake, all kinds of, you know, stuff was happening. You remember that time? And then there was IMF, you remember IMF? That Pastor Tim, IMF, all that stuff. It was pretty bad, man. It was pretty bad at that time. So our church, they couldn't, the tithing and the giving fell so low, they asked me to leave. And I was so hurt. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I just started this English ministry. Now, as a young pastor, I've never, and I worked at Korean churches all my life. I never, ever received an offer. Every ministry that I went in not knowing how much I was going to be paid. Until this church, they actually gave me an offer. And it was on paper. I never get any Korean churches. It's like, hey, man, if you're not going to come here by the Lord, you're not going to come. It's like one of those things, right? It's like, hey, you're going to go in faith. We're not going to talk about numbers. You're going to do it or not. You know, it's like one of those. Like it was raw faith back in the day, right? It was like that. But this church was being professional, and they had line items. I've never seen that before. This is what you'll get. And it was like way significant more than what I, you know, was receiving previously. Now, having said that, I'm super excited, right? Oh, by the way, one more thing that they added to the line item. You know what it was? A moving bonus. Moving bonus? What kind of church gives a moving bonus, right? I'm like, I'm in. I'm all in. This church is it, right? 150 people listening, money, all that. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus, right? You're leading me to that. And then I go to Hillside. I get there. I enter in. Everything looks old. I mean, the pews, everything. People are just barely worshiping. They're beat up by this time. They were looking for a pastor for a year. Pastor was supposed to come. He came, checked it out. He left. He was supposed to come. He actually even said yes, and he didn't come, right? A lot of things going on. The congregation was hurt. I'm looking at them. Oh, by the way, worship? Pastor Tim, actually today was pretty awesome, man. Yeah, that worship back then, when I first came in, it was just like squeaky noise, man. That's all it was, right? People not worshiping, it was really, really bad. And I'm preaching, and I'm thinking in the back of my mind, God, I got to hurry this message up because I got to get out of here. I got to get out. I'm out. Preaching the message about 10 minutes in. You know what I hear? And I don't hear it audibly, but you know what's resounding in my thoughts? They are a sheep without a shepherd. Wow. Lord is so amazing, isn't he? If it was my choice, I'd be going to that other church. Lord says, no. There are sheep without a shepherd. I'm going to send you here. Do you know that there is a passage in the Bible where the Lord was, Jesus was overwhelmed by his people? Looked at them, he said, there are sheep without a shepherd. And that passage is coming and ringing in my ear. You've been crucified with Christ, and you no longer live, but Christ lives inside of you. The life that you live for Christ, for God, who died for you and gave himself for you. Can I hear an amen? This is how the Word of God takes over.
Once I heard it, I was struggling so much because, once again, this is not a church that told me how much I'm receiving. I didn't even know how much I was going to get. But at the end of my message, you know what I felt the Holy Spirit telling me? Offer yourself to them right now. I didn't offer myself to the other church. Offer yourself to them right now. So I told them, hey guys, I don't know what I'm doing. I just felt the Holy Spirit telling me that if you guys want me to be here, I'll be here. Took off in my car. I was thinking, like, what the heck did I just do? Right? I'm just going back. And they called me. Pastor Sam, we would like for you to be here. I was wrestling because I really didn't know what I got myself into. But why did I have so much peace knowing that this choice was one that the Lord wanted me to make? Why? You want your rest and you want to live your life the way you want to live it? You want your rest and you want to try everything on your own, do what you want to do? Try it. Go for it. See what happens. But true rest will only fall afresh upon you if you are in obedience to the Lord's word and you are living in it. That's how it works, guys. There's no way I would have known these things. I would have not been able to discern the Lord's voice of there are sheep without a shepherd if I'm not reading and memorizing God's word. There's no way I could have just revealed this word to you, Galatians, that I just done by memory if I'm not memorizing these words of truth. As I am preaching, if the word of God is coming into you, is inside of you, it starts revealing itself in power. Isn't that amazing? Let's give the Lord a clap offering for that. That's just so amazing. That is the alive and active word. Man, I want you to have it. I want you to have it. Then I'm just going to say one more thing and I'm going to finish today. Do I have time? Young, am I good? Or are we almost done? Are we good? One more? So I'm going to just share with you one more story, and then I will close today. So the last thing that I wanted to share, man, there's so many things that I wanted to share, but maybe I'll do that next time. Lastly, these things that the folks that they were feeling, the audience here in the book of Hebrews, the new Jewish converts. Fear, restlessness, and anxiety was plaguing them. But the reason why it was plaguing them, it was actually plaguing them from their disobedience. Right? Their disobedience from God. They're hiding and they're running. However, the word of God confronts and exposes these things, which in turn gives us ultimate rest. Because the word of God has the power to lead us to a fully transparent lifestyle. It says here, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything will be uncovered. Everything. Your sins, your disobedience, whatnot, the things that we try to hide and we try to cover, when you are in Christ, the beautiful thing that God wants to do is He wants to sanctify you, uncover you, and transform you through His word. Not through vain emotions, not through just doing whatever we want to do, but through God's word. It says here, right in the passage, right? That's what it says. Rest comes actually from the word of God that not only forgives sins, but continually corrects sins and sanctifies our lives. So this is my last point. I'm going to give you a little story and then I'm going to close. You know, in the earlier years of ministry at my church, and I think this might resonate with you guys because you guys are young. I actually believe that the Lord's going to do something amazing at this church. I really do. The Lord sent Pastor Tim, and I see he's so faithful. Although, dude, you look so young up there. I was just like, man, give me some of your jeans, man. You know, just got that baby face, baby. Boom, just give me some of that, right? And like that guitar that you were playing, it was like a Yamaha. Dude, that thing sounded like $1 billion, man. It was so good. I was just like, dude, what kind of speaker system you guys got going there? But in the earlier years of ministry at church, Pastor Tim, you might like the story. I was under the Korean church, actually, before we became independent. And they had me come to all these meetings that were in Korean. And my Korean's so bad, right? And I couldn't understand what they were saying, whatever. I was just, like, struggling through it. And also, they had me go to this thing. Pastor Tim, I bet you don't have to go through this. I used to go through this thing called morning prayer. 새벽 기도. Anybody go to morning prayer before? It's just, that's just some tough stuff, right? You know? And I asked one of the pastors, I said, "Moksanim, Pastor, well, why do I have to go to morning prayer? Like, why do you guys wake up at 5:30? It's such an ungodly hour." He's like, no, Pastor Sam, that's a godly hour. You gotta wake up early. First thing before God. That's what you gotta do. What? Oh, okay, so you're praying because it's the first thing that Jesus did, right? That's what he's saying, right? And I told Moksanim, but you know what? Jesus also prayed at night with his disciples, you know, talking over. So we had, you know, needless to say, I was kind of difficult. And as time went by, I couldn't hang anymore. So I brought all of our leaders to give us a desire to be transformed by your word. We thank you for this ministry and with our leaders, and we made this serious presentation. As I was making this serious presentation, the elders were kind of looking but half disinterested. I saw some of the elders yawning and stuff. So upset. And after the end, I came up, so what do you guys think? They're like, oh, well, we gotta pray about it. It's like, okay, you gotta pray about it. So long, man. This so long that they just didn't listen to us, you know. We had multiple conversations why this was important and how this is going to be conducive for our growth. They still didn't listen to us. So at one point I said, this is it. I can't last anymore. I can't do this anymore, right? How many of you guys been in that situation, right? We're like, oh, I can't do this. There's no way, right? You're like, I'm gonna make decisions for myself. Anyone? Anyone been there recently? I'm gonna make decisions for myself. I'm gonna move forward, right? That's what I said. I'm gonna leave this church or whatever. And I was just about to write a letter to our elders and our pastors why this is not going to work out. And just as I'm about to do that, the word of God pops into my mind. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Not like word for word. But you know what Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says? For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isn't that awesome? So the word of God's speaking to us all the time. And I, you know, said Galatians 2:20, you've been crucified with Christ. You no longer live. Christ lives within you. Not only that, this is another passage that the Lord, as in prayer, like, because I wanted to leave, this is another passage comes up. 1 Peter chapter 5, 5 to 6. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to the elders. Oh my gosh. How many of you got, hey, check this out. This is, nobody wants to read this one. That's why there's no power in our lives. That's why there's no testimony in our lives. Because you want to pick and choose your Bible verses. Or just not read at all. But this is coming up. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to the elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. I'm like, ah! 새벽기도, I have to still do it, Lord. And I'm like complaining about all kinds of things, but I endured and I endured, went through all kinds of stuff, looking at all kinds of stuff, and I'm just like, oh, I gotta get out of here. Until one day, they wanted to come talk to me. And this is like after 2 years after I proposed this, right? I said, Pastor Sam, we want to talk to you. I think it's finally time that you guys go independent. And I was like, what? That's just when I was like not thinking this. I was thinking that this would not happen at all. But you know what's more important than the fact that they granted us? Because I did not rebel. Because I did not exhibit the kind of behavior that my flesh wanted to exhibit. Are you guys with me? Because I didn't do what I wanted to do, but was listening to God's word. Because there's many pastors who wanted to be independent in the second generation Korean American church and have not been able to make it. And so if you see a lot of Korean churches right now, the EM is totally gone. There's only KM and it's dwindling. This is actually, you guys should just really give a clap offering unto the Lord that you guys even exist and you guys are in a wonderful relationship with the KM. You guys are the last of the Mohicans with us. I'm being very real. Thanks be to God. Humble yourself, and in due time, what does the scripture says? He will lift you up. Wow. Mic drop. Done. Memorize God's word. Read God's word. Abide by God's word. Pastor Tim, especially you. It's so hard, huh? Lies, it's so hard, huh? Guys, it's so hard, right? But we got to do it. There's power, transformation, when you live and abide by God's word. And ultimately, when you do that, there's true rest. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you for your message for today. We thank you, Lord, for your peoples here today. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to give us a desire to be transformed by your word. We thank you for this ministry, Lord, and may many here at this church read it from cover to cover if they've never done that before. And even if they have done that before, I pray, Lord God, that they would be challenged to hear your word, that they would see power and transformation and glory of you in their lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.